Watch us. Love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch. Jones and Keefe. On WEEI.
My anticipation is that the Commanders are going to take a swing at getting something done with him over the course of the next week, just because it makes too much sense for both sides. I think the Patriots would be very interested in this. Now, there's a price point for all of it, and what would that mean? And, you know, obviously he's not going to come here with an unresolved contract situation, so you'd be talking about a draft pick plus a contract. He's a little older than people realize because he was a five-year college guy, so he's over 30 now. But, you know, certainly as far as, like, what they're looking for from a person, from a player, helping Drake, like, this guy checks.
He checks all the boxes, Terry McLaurin.
Sure does.
I can't see Washington moving him. It's a fun discussion. If he were really available, the Patriots should be in. I don't trust that they'd really be in. And it's Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We'll get you a hashtag Dork Minute with Rich Keefe coming up about 15 minutes from now. We'll get back to the Red Sox as well. Mix in a few Celtics thoughts before we get out of here today. But we'll stick with the Patriots for now. We were talking about helping out Drake May and how do you do it. Well, trading for Terry McLaurin would definitely do that. But he's a player, as Breer illustrated, that, again, I don't think Washington's going to move. But if they did move him, you're giving up high-level draft compensation, and you have to pay him. And I'm sure you guys talked about this last week, Keith, but we briefly talked about it before Bill clapped back at Robert. We're like, oh, I said this. I'm like, Robert said something nice about Bill. You're like, I don't know about that, man.
No.
You're like, I think Robert was just, you know, patting himself on the back. And Bill agreed with you because Bill clapped back big time at Robert. But the detail that came out in that Van Natta story is that the Patriots are second to last in cash spending since Kraft took over in 94. And so you're telling me they're going to give up a high-level draft pick and pay a guy like McLaurin. I hope they do.
Yeah.
I would love them to do it. I'm not saying they shouldn't. That doesn't sound like the type of move they make. So I think a guy like that is just not their kind of guy.
At some point, you're right, it doesn't fit the track record. But at some point, you have to realize, with Tom Brady, you can play by a different set of rules
True.
Than without Tom Brady.
True.
And I don't know how many more years have to go by till you realize, like,
we know that.
Yes.
Do they know that?
They should. They should. Maybe not yet.
I mean,
I wouldn't say they do yet.
As of the Dynasty on Apple TV,
yeah,
and his comments last week probably still reek of this. As of the Dynasty, Kraft didn't know it.
No, Bill and Robert both thinking like it was them.
Right.
And they're like, we had a quarterback,
right,
nice guy, you know. But no, you have to play by a different set of rules because all these other teams that make these big moves, are they really dumb? Like, are the Eagles are dumb for trading for A.J. Brown?
Yep.
Or like the Bills when they got Diggs?
Stupid.
Or like, or the, you know, whatever. Like, go through the list of all these different teams that acquired big time wide receivers and then paid them. So you've tried drafting them, and you could say most of that was Bill, but also, you know, Elliot Wolf. We'll see what happens with Kyle Williams, right? Like, that's Mike Vrabel's first guy that they took a shot at.
Right, we're not blaming Wolf for him. That's Vrabel's guy.
If you can't draft him, like the Commanders drafted Terry McLaurin well after you drafted N'Keal Harry. But we don't need to go down
that road. No, don't go back to that, please.
But I'm saying, like, are these teams all dumb for bringing in wide receivers that have significantly helped their young quarterbacks? I would say no. I would say it's really helped a lot of teams. In fact, the last team that did it, or one of the last teams, won a Super Bowl. So you can even point to that. So they should be willing to do that. I'm with you. Ultimately, I think the Commanders, you know, you get into camp and you get closer to it. And you're like, we need this guy. They'll end up paying him a lot of money. But for whatever reason, they haven't done it yet. But the Patriots should be at the top of the list if they're actually taking calls and trying to move them.
They've been linked to guys like this in the past. They never get them. And I think ownership is a factor in that. They didn't get DK Metcalf. Oh, Metcalf didn't want to play here. I bet if they gave him the right contract, he'd want to play here.
I don't think he wanted to play in Pittsburgh.
No, me either. He didn't want to play in cold weather. He's in Pittsburgh. So something tells me that if they gave DK Metcalf the contract, he would have come here. Same thing with Ayuk a couple of years ago. But these are guys who are attached to draft capital and big contracts. And I know Ayuk, and Breer reported on some of this at the time, the Patriots supposedly had a real strong offer for Ayuk contractually, just like they supposedly had a real strong one for Chris Godwin. I'd want to see the details, because on paper, they had a real strong offer for Diggs, until you dug in on the details.
But this is what you have to do, because we saw what the wide receiver free agent class looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And if you even put Godwin to the side, because he ended up re-signing, if you look at the free agents that changed teams, I mean, Cooper Kupp at his age and Steph Diggs are two of the best ones. Because the other ones were trades. Deebo was a trade. DK Metcalf was a trade.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what a free agent class looks like. And, if you're not going to hit them in the draft, you have to be willing to trade a lot for them, find the established guy, bring them in, and then pay them. That's just how it works for top-end receivers.
Yeah, they're not. And so who do you blame for that? You can still blame Bill if you want. You can look at Kraft over the lifespan of his ownership and look at them. That doesn't feel like something he's willing to do. It's Jones and Keith. We're brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies at Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. It came out over the weekend who was starting camp on the active PUP list.
Yeah.
Okay. Mac Hollins, which...
Mac Hollins. What's up with that?
Maybe we should be a little more worried about that one.
Yeah, maybe he's not a lock.
He was one of the guys who wasn't at mandatory minicamp. It turns out he's hurt, and he's going to start on active PUP. Now, these guys can be removed at any point, but he's going to start there. Austin Hooper's on that list. Vedarian Lowe. Jelani Tavai still here for some reason.
Lowe and Tavai are still on the team.
There is your active PUP list.
Is Tavai still going to do the Fridays with the Greg Hill Show this year?
Something tells me no.
They're not going to get him?
They might get Spillane instead.
Maybe Spillane. Talk to Spillane.
Yeah, something tells me Jelani Tavai. I mean, look, apparently the guy loves making headlines. Apparently, welcome on our show.
Hates the fans. No, I mean, he hates the fan base.
Sometimes doesn't, they just got to know their place.
He doesn't like the fans.
He hates
They're not
the
qualified to do what Mayo is doing.
Well, maybe we're maybe sure we're talking about this the wrong way, Keith.
Yeah.
Maybe, right, is he going to be on the Greg Hill Show? Probably not.
No, our show.
Look.
He can pop on our show.
Opportunities are available on Jones and Keefe. He's looking for a new spot.
Guy's got a lot to say.
On the NFI list, Carlton Davis, we should probably look at that.
Yeah.
And then two guys I've never heard of are on the NFI list.
Okay.
None of those guys are cleared to play yet if you're on active PUP or the NFI. Steph Diggs on neither list.
That's a great sign.
Which means Steph Diggs is truly, and I had been very skeptical about this and I was wrong, he is truly trending towards being ready. Week one. I don't know if that means he's fully participating in training camp starting Wednesday, like team activities. He'll be out there. I just read an item on Godwin, who we were talking about. Different injuries. Godwin had an ankle injury. Diggs tore his ACL. So different injuries, different timelines. I just read a headline that Godwin won't be doing any team activities in training camp. So maybe Diggs won't be doing the full thing. But if he's off that list, he's fully trending towards a week one return, which I didn't think was going
to
be possible.
You know what that means? You need to start taking those workout videos more serious.
I do.
He was looking good.
I do.
Tossing medicine ball around, sprinting around a little bit. Even though there was a lot of drama around the, him on the boat, him missing a day, if you really look at what happened, he was on the field for some of the OTA stuff, which
and
I didn't
been,
think health-wise was going to happen.
Me neither. And he's been with May at all these workouts.
Yeah. So, like, that part of it is a great sign. He ran through some of the drills, didn't do, like, the team drills. But that, to me, at least placed him ahead of schedule. And so if he was sort of targeting early in the season, I even thought, like, glass half full was a week three or four return. And now it's like, no, week one is very, very much on the table. And so let's see how much he does. And I even think for, like, a veteran player, even if he was 100%, I don't even know if he would be doing every single thing, right? Like, even if he wasn't coming off the injury, just like an older guy, you might kind of ease him up a little bit. So he'll be the guy. Like, to me, he's the clear-cut, most interesting, most important player of the training camp. Like, I just want to see what he's doing, how close he is to being ready to play in a real game.
If he's playing a full season, and again, I mean, like, he needs to be healthy once he's back out there, and I don't think we're jumping the gun on saying he's trending towards week one. In fact, that was the interpretation from Mike Reese.
And he's pretty durable. Like, last year was the one time he got hurt midway through the year. Prior to that, he pretty much plays every game or misses a game. Like, he's pretty much out there since he's come into the league.
Reese says Diggs appears to be on track to be on the field day one of training camp. That doesn't mean week one of the season. That doesn't mean a full participant. But I think that's certainly the way that he's trending. You mentioned his health, Keith. I mean, extrapolate out some of the numbers, too, assuming he's anything close to the same player after the injury.
Right.
But the last time Stephon Diggs played a full season, 15-plus games, let's call it, and didn't have 1,000 yards was 2017. So I don't know. If he's out there, he's playing a full year. And the touchdowns in those years, starting in 2018, 9, 6, 8, 10, 11, 8. He had 3.5 a season last year, so call it another 6.
Yeah, Fitzy mentioned on Friday, I think his over-under for the season is like 4.5 touchdowns. Like, I think he's going to smash that.
So if he's playing a full season, yes.
Yeah. And he had 3 last year and half a season.
Correct.
So, I mean, I think same thing with Drake May. Like the Drake May numbers, we talked about this a week ago, like this sort of the preseason yards, touchdown, over-unders. He seems like a layup if healthy. And so I think that's what you have to kind of worry about. I worry about it a little bit more, believe it or not, with Drake May than I do with Steph Diggs. I feel like Steph Diggs pretty much had this one injury that has cost him.
If you tell me I get 17 games out of Steph Diggs, I feel better about him hitting all of his overs than Drake May hitting all of his overs in 17 games.
My point
games.
Is, like, if Diggs can play week one, I'm more confident he plays 17 games than I am Drake May playing 17 games.
Oh, I see.
Even though he's way younger.
Yeah, that's probably
maybe
true.
Maybe it's the position, whatever, or just the, you know, I want to see it done. For, like, Steph Diggs has played start to finish NFL season. Drake May hasn't. And he's only had one opportunity, but he didn't do it. So, yeah, but those guys very much, you know, kind of tied together also. You know, if Drake May hits his numbers, I feel like Steph Diggs is also out there for the majority of the games. Because if he's not, it might be pretty tough.
Well, I think the worst case scenario is they have a pretty, I think, soft landing to start the year.
Yeah.
Vegas at Miami, home against Pittsburgh, home against Carolina. If Diggs is out there for all those games, I feel better about them going certainly 2-2, maybe 3-1 in that stretch. Worst case scenario is he misses the first month. They're 1-3. He comes back for Buffalo. He makes it about himself, and the whole thing snowballs, right?
But they beat Buffalo.
If he's back for all those games, I feel better about the team winning games early, May reaching his expectations, and a big season out of Diggs. So that was very good news over the weekend, something I personally didn't see coming.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'd say, I'd expect him out there week one, which is not what I thought was going to be the case.
Yeah. The Carlton Davis one kind of stood out a little bit. You're talking about guys that aren't available. So NFI is the non-football injury list.
Yeah, so what did he get hurt on, the jet ski?
I don't know. Maybe.
Did he get hurt
fast?
Hurt on one of those cool car-looking things floating around?
I don't know.
NFI means you got hurt away from the facility is what that means. So so what is that? I don't know.
I don't know. It could be anything. It could be one of these strange injuries for all we know. But yeah, that one's kind of – because we went over the met. He's one of your better players. Let's see.
What was the Cutter Crawford one again? We don't know. We still don't know the Cutter Crawford one.
They won't tell you. He didn't.
It was super normal. There was nothing weird going on.
Yeah, that was strange. We gotta find the answer to that.
We do. That's what we gotta get to the bottom of that.
Get Pablo Torre on that. he'll figure it out.
That's Pablo Torre territory. Uh-huh. That's true. 617-779-7937. You guys can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get back to the Red Sox at high noon, but we have a hashtag Dork Minute for you coming up next.
Tonight, Sox and Phillies. The Mass Mutual pregame show with Joe Weil starts at 5:45. First pitch, 6:45 on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. Now, Jones and Keefe
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
The show starts in one.
This is movie time.
Shang-Chi.
You've seen none?
None.
Me and Billy have combined for one.
Billy's 100 years old.
I don't like comic book movies. I'm an old man.
Yes. Right.
You ever see the movie Dirk Diggler?
I did a movie with George Muir's in.
I'm going to give it a rock hard 5 out of 6.
Make sure you subscribe to the
Hashtag Dork Podcast.
Believe our best friends are getting married.
I'm like, envelope. Could it be cash? A check? Oh my god. I'm calling 911.
Everyone chill out!
We don't tell anybody what happened tonight.
We should go. What does it say?
What are you waiting for, huh? What are you waiting for?
Holy smokes. That right there, Jones, the sound of I Know What You Did Last Summer 2025 version. There's a new film, and I'm here to review it for you. I Know You Did Last Summer in theaters over the weekend. And this movie currently on Rotten Tomatoes, 38% by the critics.
Okay, that's not our score.
That's not, we don't
that's
look
not
at that.
Us.
We don't even care about that. Nope. Don't worry about that. 68%. So you got somebody's
so
gonna upvote that a little bit
so
more. Somebody's
close.
Gonna upvote that is by the audience. Weekend box office, it finished third. Can't imagine they were thrilled with that. Although it's a horror movie, it didn't cost a lot of money to make, so they can make their money back soon. Superman actually crushed once again.
I saw this over the weekend. Yeah,
it's big. A, you saw the numbers, not the film.
No, of course not the film. No, I'm sorry. The numbers. Is that 3 straight weeks of that?
No, I just want to watch the movie.
Only 2. No, yeah, I just want to read about the movie. I don't want to see it.
2, and it'll probably only be 2 because Fantastic Four comes out this weekend. But Superman was number 1. Jurassic World Rebirth was actually number 2. And then I Know What You Did Last Summer in the United States made $13 million. Of course, the original came out in 1997, which they do reference several times throughout the movie.
Oh, that comes up?
The Massacre in 1997. So this movie, I'll be honest, I'm a little biased. It's made for me. It's made for people that loved the 1997 one and that were 13, 14 years old when that one came out, still have a soft spot in their heart for that movie, which wasn't particularly a great movie.
No, but...
very nostalgic.
Good cast.
Great cast.
Good cast.
Goat cast.
You think think Charlie Morton... he's probably too old for this.
Charlie Morton might have missed this.
Charlie Morton brought his kids to it.
He was probably too cool for this movie.
Probably brought his kids to it. That's a good point. Yeah.
But I liked it. And it's sort of the same model as a few years ago, Scream 5 was just titled Scream. It's what they refer to as a requel. So it's not a reboot, but it's kind of a reboot. It's also kind of a sequel. So they kind of throw the two together.
Yeah, it's all kind of jammed in
there.
And
I guess they're like, hey, we're just going to put the same name on it. So that's what they did. Jennifer Love Hewitt is back. Freddie Prinze Jr. is back.
Wow, so I was, wait a minute.
They're
I was
on the about, poster. That's not a spoiler.
I was just about to ask, who's the Jennifer Love Hewitt? Who's the Freddie Prinze? They're
Jennifer
in
Love Hewitt and Freddie Prinze. Although there are also characters that are very much like them. There's also a character that's very similar to the Ryan Phillippe character. It's kind of how it goes.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
There's a character that's like Sarah Michelle
Gellar.
All
that covered?
They play the hits. They play the hits a little
bit. They know what they're doing, though.
I like this crap. I like what they refer to, like a world that existed whatever it was, 27, 28 years ago, and the aftermath of that. I think that's cool. They've created a little universe for themselves in Southport, North Carolina. I didn't check. I'm guessing it's a fictional town, but that's what they refer to it as. And I think it's good stuff, and they tie the two together. It is an hour and 51 minutes.
I'm being told Southport, real place.
Real place. That's where they were.
Brunswick County, North Carolina.
Sure, hell yeah, it was.
It's a real place.
Oh, yeah, right on the water. Well, you have fishermen down there.
Yep, that checks out.
You got a lot of guys in slickers.
That's true.
That's what it is. Now, most slasher movies should be 90 minutes. This one's longer, but I don't think it didn't feel like it was a slog. I thought it was pretty good. Again, I would say if you like the first one. No. If you love the first one, then I think you might like this one. If not, then you know what? Maybe not every movie is for you, but I enjoyed it.
You think the critics are being a little snooty about it?
Of course.
Yeah.
But the critics didn't like the first one. So you're not going to say this one's better than the first one.
At least they're consistent.
They are, if nothing else. I think the first one, Roddy T score was like in the 40s.
Yeah, it's a 46.
Yeah. Okay. Better film.
Critics got
that right.
Cast is off
with
the charts.
With a 41% audience.
Johnny?
That's insane.
That's
how do you not enjoy that? How do you not have a nice time?
Well, it was the 90s. We were different then.
But it was a year after Scream.
Yep.
It was written by the same guy that wrote Scream. It was very enjoyable. Like you said, the greatest cast of all time.
I didn't realize,
high school movie.
And I'm going off my memory, but I'm not reading this directly off Wikipedia or anything.
Sure.
Johnny Galecki was in this? The original.
The OG one.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. He said, hey, Ray, why don't you wipe that my bleep don't stink grin off your face.
It was tough.
Yeah.
We're supposed to believe he was like a tough guy.
I don't remember this.
He's like a real townie.
Okay.
And he didn't like how Ray was hanging out with the rich kids.
Okay, good.
That was his whole thing.
I didn't realize he was in it.
He met his end.
Okay.
He did not make it through that film.
All right.
Therefore, he's not in this one.
Okay.
No, Johnny Galecki redo in this one.
It all checks out. Okay.
He's for sure dead. There's a podcaster in this movie, which I like that.
Modern times.
A lot of movies now and TV shows are adding the podcast.
So they just went with Halloween 2018.
Yeah, but they did it better.
So they're ripping off like every requel.
Yeah, that's right. That's what they did originally. So it makes sense.
That's fair.
If you look at it that way.
If you metagame it, yeah, that's fair.
That's what they're doing.
You mentioned this is a little longer than the...
Your standard slasher film?
The old...
I don't know what the last one was.
Oh, okay,
I was just saying your normal...
Hour
like,
41.
This is a long,
so it's 10 minutes longer.
Okay. My sister.
Oh, there's also, sorry to cut you off.
Yeah,
there's
no.
also a post credit scene.
Oh, nice.
So if you haven't seen the film yet, stay for post credits. Davey and I are going to do a full spoiler, full recap of this. So if you have watched it and want to hear more about it tonight on the Dork Podcast, but there is a post credits, like it's an MCU movie, for God's sake.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So you guys are covering that tonight on the hashtag Dork Podcast. You can check that out. Odyssey app. No, my sister-in-law mentioned this to me. She brought the kids, our son, while my wife and I were
to go see. I know you did last summer.
No, she brought them to see the live-action How to Train Your Dragon.
Did they like it?
And she's like, yes, they did. But she's like, I've noticed this trend with all these like remakes or live-action versions of them. She's like, they're all longer than the original. They don't need to be longer.
Weird.
Is that like a theme?
We want more scenes?
Yeah, I don't know. Is that like a theme?
So I don't know.
And the only reason I asked is you brought that up with I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah. No, I feel like this year, though, a lot of movies have actually been on the shorter side.
I feel like the longest movie I've watched is like 227.
So what was that one?
It's like I think it was honestly Fountain of Youth was like the longest
movie. Oh, that movie stunk.
And it was like 2.5 hours long. But every movie's been around 90 minutes to 2 hours.
Sinners was 2 hours, right?
That's like
or maybe plus, maybe 215. So I always go back to that one as sort of like, as long as the movie's good, I actually don't care how long the movie is.
We're getting pushback on I Know What You Did Last Summer is the greatest cast of all time.
What's a better cast than that?
Text line claims Grease, greatest cast ever.
All right, well.
Grease or I Know What
Charlie
You Did
Morton
Last Summer.
Texting in. Charlie Morton's like, when I was a kid, I watched Grease. They had a great cast. No, I Know What You Did Last Summer. Now, there might be better cast if you're going like 20 deep, like Can't Hardly Wait.
Sure.
Which has, obviously, Jennifer Love Hewitt also in that movie.
Yeah, she's an important factor in greatest cast of
all
time.
More depth on that one. Yeah, but if you're just going for like the Four Horsemen.
Top heavy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If you catch my drift. Yeah, no, I don't think you can really top that. This one, I don't watch the show Outer Banks, but I understand that it's very popular.
Uh-huh.
And one of the girls from Outer Banks is one of the girls in this.
Ah.
So maybe the younger demo will say this is a good cast. I didn't recognize any of the kid or teenage actors, which are also probably 25. So I didn't recognize any of them. But I did like the movie. Also,
are you talking about Madden Klein?
Yeah, yeah, she's in this.
Was in the second Knives Out movie, too.
Oh, okay. So there you go. So I'm sure, you know, people in their teens and 20s know who all those people are. And great. Then they really like them. Also, real quick, a streaming movie recommendation. The Amateur.
Mm-hmm.
Rami Malek, Lawrence Fishburne, John Bernthal. Pretty good.
Good cast.
Yeah, Nick just watched it as well over the weekend. What was the? Was that on Hulu?
It was on Hulu, yep.
Yeah. Pretty good. Came out earlier this year, now streaming for free. Enjoyable. Rachel Brosnahan?
Uh-huh.
What a year for Brosnahan.
Big year.
Superman and now The Amateur?
Big year.
Look out above.
Was this a former preview of yours? What refresh my memory. What is a real quick plot?
Charlie Heller is a brilliant CIA decoder whose world comes crashing down when his wife dies in a London terrorist attack.
Oh, spoiler.
When his supervisors refuse to take action, his intelligence becomes the ultimate weapon.
The Amateur.
As he embarks on a dangerous trek across the globe to track down those responsible.
I like it. Oh, I like that.
Vigilante justice.
Nice.
Thank you.
Best kind of justice.
Yeah, the only kind.
Okay. So there's a streaming recommendation on top of it. Make sure you check out the Dork Podcast, hashtag Dork Podcast, tonight with Keith and Davey on the Odyssey app. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number to get in touch. Jones and Keith. We'll get back to the Red Sox. Is it time to trust the Red Sox after they drop 2 out of 3 against Chicago, or you still have them at arm's length? We'll get to that with your phone calls next.